The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with our Under the Helmet segment with our good friend Jason Peter. And Jason, certainly some big storylines this week. Let's talk some NFL. Brady Quinn found himself in the spotlight after making some unflattering comments about his fellow teammate, Tim Tebow. It's just not going to die in the offseason, is it?
No, well, he's a Notre Dame guy, so you kind of expect that out of those Golden Domers. But it was shocking, to say the least. I don't know if it's as big a deal as maybe it's being made out to be. Obviously, it's the off season, so storylines are a little more rare. But this seems to be one, especially because it involves Tim Tebow, that the media has kind of latched on to. And I don't think it's as big a deal as they're making it out to be. I mean, he is speaking the truth, or not the truth. He's speaking from his heart. I think this is what he firmly believes. And let's face it, as members of the media, I think that there is this kind of double-edged sword for these athletes, where if they give us the generic answer, we rip them because of that. If they speak from the heart and they let us know what they're really feeling, then we rip them for that. They're kind of in a win situation. Now, I do disagree with him talking about Tebow in the first place. So, I mean, he's kind of throwing the player under the bus. And
He said Tim Tebow is not very humble.
Yeah, I mean, when talking about his religion, and for me, I'm not at every Bronco game. I'm not at any Bronco game, so I don't see if Tebow's running to the camera so that he can do a little preaching, or if he's looking for the opportunity. But let's face it. I mean, this is what athletes do. I mean, part of becoming an athlete is you have a box, I think, to preach from, or you get to talk about certain things that normally you wouldn't be able to talk about if you were just a regular guy walking down the street, or at least not that you couldn't talk about them if you were the regular guy, but as many people wouldn't listen to you. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys that use that platform for many different reasons, and for Tim Tebow, it happens to be about his faith, and I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. But it seems like a lot of what's happening with Tim Tebow is getting away from what he's actually doing for a living, and that's playing football. And I think that, you know, is the unfortunate thing.
Well, and, you know, Brady Quinn, I'm just so disappointed in him, because I think this comes down to jealousy. I mean, and how he's backpedaling and saying, oh, it was a complete inaccurate portrayal of my comments, you know, and he was disappointed on how the article came out. But this was in GQ magazine. I mean, Jason, you're familiar with this magazine. It's not like a magazine that would sensationalize. Would you agree?
This would be the equivalent of a Vogue for women. I think GQ kind of sets the standard for men's journalism. And I'm sure there's a little bit of jealousy or anger. This is a kid who felt like he was in the backup role, and you can't deny that there was fan persuasion, I think. You know, Peyton Manning has billboards up down in Miami, and Tim Tebow had them scattered throughout Denver. And whatever the case, they worked, or whether it was John Fox truly in his heart believed that Tim Tebow was the guy that would lead them to the playoffs, I don't know. But I'm sure there's a little bit of bitterness there. I think as an athlete, you work your tail off in the hopes that one day your name's going to get called, and I think Brady Quinn probably thought that that it was going to be his turn where his name got called, and unfortunately it didn't happen, and the other guy took advantage of the situation.
Okay, now I'm curious. I mean, you think the Denver Bronco fans are going to be forgiving? They're going to remember this a very long time because, as you said, I mean, they did have billboards for Tim Tebow. They love this guy. They have embraced him, and they do want him to be their quarterback.
No, I think you got to ship Brady Quinn out now.
There you go.
I agree. I don't know how a player would overcome something like this when it involves one of the most beloved players in that organization's town. People love Tim Tebow out there, and in more areas, I think, than just Denver. It's funny. I mean, you know, Brady Quinn comes from Notre Dame, where there is this love-hate type relationships or feelings about the school, and I think a lot. It's very similar, I think, to Tim Tebow, where you have a lot of people that either love him or they hate him because of what he stands for. So somewhat ironic.
Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We certainly wanted him to weigh in on the Brady Quinn situation and the dubious, as one of the headlines said, the dubious do-over. But right now, we've got the NFL Combine going on, and I understand there are several players from the University of Nebraska that are participating in that. Give us an update on that, and then there's a couple of players that I definitely want to get your thoughts on as far as they move forward and take their game to the next level.
Well, I think the one player that maybe stands out above the rest from the Nebraska group is Alfonso Dennard.
Okay.
And he's a guy that was a preseason All-American, and I think he may have made an All-American team or two by season's end, but he had a rough Senior Bowl, got dinged up a little bit there, and I'm sure that NFL scouts are going to want to see how he runs. He's a corner. But he's the guy that has potential first round or has first round potential. The other guys, the best player that Nebraska had on defense, hands down, this past year was Levante David, and he's a little undersized linebacker. He's about 6'1", 225, but he can play, and he just needs to find a team that loves him, and I think this kid will play in the NFL for a number of years. And two other guys that are going to Indy are Jared Crick, defensive lineman, who missed most of the year. He was another All-American candidate, and he tore his pectoral muscle around the Washington game, which was about third or fourth game of the season, and he missed the rest of the year. There's high hopes. I mean, this is a guy, 6'6", 300 pounds. He was a projected first-round draft pick preseason, and I'm not sure if he's 100% healthy where he'll go and perform all of the workouts, but I'm sure teams will want to at least get an idea of where he's coming from mentally, which is a big part of the combine. And then there's Marcel Jones, who pretty much was an underachieving offensive lineman here at Nebraska for his entire stay. Big, big body, 6'7", 6'6", 330 pounds, athletic, high hopes for this kid when he first came in as a freshman, and it just never seemed like he developed the way that fans and coaches were hoping so, but he'll be another guy there.
Okay, so you got us up to speed on the Nebraska players that will be participating in this year's NFL Scouting Combine. Let's talk about, as far as just quickly, the quarterback position. Andrew Luck, obviously number one, and Robert Griffin the third, and that number two slot. Obviously some very talented guys. What will they be doing? I mean, will they just do the mental evaluation, or will they also be participating in the physical as well?
I think both of those guys will probably take part in both. I know the times have changed a little bit. I mean, you go back to, for my time going into the NFL, that was 1998, there were a lot of us who I think were kind of pegged as sure first-round draft picks. We decided that whether it was for health reasons or you just was a comfort thing, that you would wait until your pro day. I think now it's changed a little bit where more guys are willing to work out. I don't know if it's because the NFL teams are demanding it more, if they look at it as more of a negative if you don't work out, like there's an attitude type problem. But with those two guys, you know, they're quarterbacks for the most part. Their bodies don't break down as much as, say, a lineman does throughout the year. So I would imagine both of those guys would take part in the physical and the mental, but you never know.
Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to his website. There's some great stuff on there, jasonpeter.com. Of course, he joins us each and every week with our Under the Helmet segment, and I'm looking forward to our conversation next week because a lot of things are happening here when we talk about college football, what the conference commissioners who run the BCS have wrapped up 2 days of meetings, and there's some options, some serious options that they are considering, and I don't know. I feel very optimistic about some of the great things that perhaps will be happening in the future with college football.
Yeah, there's a lot of these commissioners, conference commissioners, that are now changing their song a little bit from maybe where they stood a year or two ago. So it's funny in some regards, and then it's exciting in others because I think you could do something really, really fun and exciting for college football without ruining, I think, the structure of it all.
Thank you, Jason, for stopping by, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week, okay?
All right, thanks, E.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just one moment.
Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and we are so glad you are with us. It is hard to believe spring practice is already underway. A number of teams across the country are starting practice this week, and the team in the spotlight that we're going to focus in on is the University of Texas. Of course, Mack Brown's Longhorns, and here to help us out is Steve Habel. He, of course, is with Horns Illustrated. You can check out his work at hornsillustrated.com and also on cbssports.com as he provides the Rapid Report. Steve, it's great to have you back with us.
Hi, Alyssa. How are you? I hope that things are going well for you.
Things are going fantastic, and it is hard to believe that already spring practice is underway, and I know there's a number of key positions that you are keeping your eye on. Let's start with that quarterback competition. How is that going to fare out this spring?
Well, Alyssa, you know, the quarterback situation at Texas was really in flux last year. Three starters, Garrett Gilbert, who's now with SMU, David Ash and Case McCoy, all split time. Ash seems to have taken the lead for the bowl game, the Holiday Bowl, which Texas won, and Ash was the most valuable player. Really, how Texas goes in their spring will be determined by how they get to play from their quarterback. They expect Ash to be the starter and leader. He'll be a true sophomore this year, and how he plays this spring and how he grabs the leadership reins will be a key for the team.
What is interesting is when you look at the roster for Mack Brown, I mean, my goodness, he's going to have, again, one of the youngest teams in the country. I mean, he's got a lot of youth on this team.
But you remember, Alyssa, 18 of the 22 players that Mack Brown signed in last year's class of freshmen got on the field and played. It's about everybody except some offensive linemen and some guys that were hurt. So, you know, they're going to be young, but they're experienced as, you know, freshmen to grow up. They grow up quickly at the University of Texas. They have to. And the group that they have coming in, 28 strong, is a pretty salty group as well. So they'll be young, but as Max said last year during the middle of the season, if you're going to get Texas, the time to get them was probably last year, not this year.
Okay, now, Steve, you hit on David Ash and Case McCoy with the quarterback competition, but also enrolling early is freshman Connor Brewer. What can you tell us about him? Give us a little bit of a sneak peek.
You know, Brewer is a great pro passing type prospect. He led his high school team to 3 consecutive state championships in Scottsdale, Arizona. He comes from the same high school program that the Sinline family did, played for Texas, Robin and Pyle. So that was kind of the tunnel to get him to Texas. Brewer is a great prospect. You know, I think Texas would really like for him to scout this year. He'll actually he's in school now, so he'll be there for the spring practice, and we'll see what he can do. But I know the coaches would like him to get a little bit more experience under his belt before they throw him in there. So he may be the quarterback of the future for Texas.
Steve Habel is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can check out his work at Horns Illustrated. And also, we want to direct you to CBSSports.com. And last year, the Texas Longhorns relied heavily on 2 freshman running backs. Tell us about them and what have they been doing in the offseason to take their game to the next level. Of course, we're talking about Malcolm Brown.
Well, Malcolm Brown and Joe Bergeron were great tandem of running backs for Texas last year. They both were injured some as the season went on. It should be healthy for the spring. We know what they can do here, so there's no doubt that they're not going to get as much reps and stuff in the spring as they probably would have if they needed to prove themselves. But those guys will be pushed in the fall by the 4-star, 5-star athlete, everything, running back Jonathan Gray from Aledo, who was signed as part of this newest class, the record-breaking running back. You know, between the 3 of those guys, I think Texas is pretty well set for running backs for the next, at least 2 or 3 years.
Of course, with us being in Fort Worth, we know where Aledo, Texas is, and running back Jonathan Gray, I mean, certainly high, high praise. There's got to be quite a buzz down there in Austin on what this guy's going to be able to do at the University of Texas.
Well, he has been a spectacular prep player. They expect a lot of him when he gets to Texas. You know, he's not stepping into a place that he might have a couple years ago here at Texas where they covered his Barrett running back, and that's one of the reasons he said he chose Texas. He doesn't want to carry the ball 30 or 35 times a game like he did in high school. He wants to be able to share the load, and he will be able to do that with Brown and Bergeron. I think of the 3 backs, you know, Brown will get the start next year, kind of like he did last year when he was healthy. Bergeron is a great second half back, a real pounder, a big guy, can really run, got a good high leg kick. Gray can go either way. I mean, you guys have seen him up there. You know what kind of moves he has, how he can change the field. And he has the potential to go the distance of every play, and that's really a game-breaking thing that Texas hasn't had very much lately.
Yeah, Jonathan Gray, I mean, he led his team to 3 state titles, and it will be a luxury for Mac Brown having so much depth at the running back position. Tell us about your top receiver, Jackson Shipley.
Shipley was banged up a little bit last year as well with knee and ankle injuries. He should be 100% for the spring. He's Chip is a great gamer. He's like his Jordan.
Yes.
Just can catch the ball, can make things happen, can throw the ball. He threw 4 touchdown passes for Texas last year from the wide receiver spot. He was really key for Texas in the early season last year. And when he was hurt and couldn't play for 3 games, that was when Texas was really struggling offensively. And he'll have more savviness, more leadership, more experience under his belt, and expect a lot from him.
Okay, Steve, this is a rapid report as we get an update on the University of Texas. They started spring practice on Thursday this week. What about as far as this recruiting class? You'd already highlighted and talked about, you know, Jonathan Gray coming in from Aledo High School, but who are some of the others that they signed, perhaps defensively?
Well, defensively, there's 2 guys that are real standouts for him. One of them is Malcolm Brown, just like the other Malcolm Brown, but spelled differently, and a lot bigger. He's a defensive tackle, nose guard prospect out of Brenham. He is very explosive, can get off the ball. He should vie for playing time early on in his career here at Texas. Another guy that they signed kind of at the last minute is Toshiro Davis out of Shreveport, West Haven. He's a guy that was pretty much locked up by LSU until the last minute. He changed his mind and went to Texas. He is an edge rusher with a lot of speed, a lot of quickness, and a lot of strength. He will vie for playing time as well. They also signed 2 junior college guys, for the first time since 2001, went to the junior college ranks. Got one guy who's a defensive tackle that should contribute right away. Got another guy, an offensive tackle, that should contribute right away. So they've got a lot of players in this recruiting class that should contribute. But like I said before, this is not a bare cupboard at Texas like it was last year at the time. They have a lot of guys that they're going to have to really push to get a playing spot.
Why has Texas not gone to the junior college ranks? You said 2001 was the last time that they had brought any junior college transfers in.
Well, Max said that basically he never goes to junior colleges because the only time he will dip into that is when he really thinks he needs somebody that can step in immediately and play. And that hasn't really been the case at Texas until this past year, you know, the year before when they had such a struggle at 5-7. And then they had a bunch of young players last year, and they felt that this year, with some guys being gone at certain positions, that they could use these guys that could step right in and play, that didn't have to develop. So it's an interesting fact from back there. There was even some thinking that a quarterback may come out of the junior college ranks for a while, but that didn't pan out.
We are visiting and going one-on-one with Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated. Does a great job. He's got some wonderful articles in there. You can also check his work out on CBSSports.com, his rapid reports. One more quick football question. Talk to us about Mac Brown. He got the contract extension in the offseason. What were all the X's and O's on that?
Well, you know, Mac is already the highest paid college coach in any sport anywhere, so he's not hurting for cash. I think the whole deal, Alyssa, was that he wanted to be sure that he could end his career at Texas if that's what he wanted. Athletic director DeLoss Dodds and university president Bill Powers like Mac. They like what he's done to the program here. A national championship will get you a lot of kudos wherever you go. But he's been a builder of men, a leader in the community. He's a guy that's, you know, associated with Texas. When you think of Texas, you think of two guys as coaches, Mac Brown and Daryl Royal, and I think they're pretty close to being said in the same sentence now, Alyssa. This contract extension basically just assured Mac that he could coach here as long as he wanted to. There's no more head coach in waiting here like there was a couple of years ago with Will Muschamp before he went to Florida. It's Mac's call, whatever he wants to do, and that's really the impetus behind that.
Okay, we're going to shift avenues. Let's talk some hoops. Rick Barnes, what in the world is going on? And, you know, when you look up and down the Big 12 Conference right now, it just kind of blows my mind. Texas, 7-8, Oklahoma State, 6-9, and OU, 4-11. What's going on with men's basketball? Talk to us about, I mean, the fact that the Longhorns have dropped two straight against Oklahoma State and Baylor.
Well, the Baylor game was not a horrible loss. I think the Oklahoma State loss was bad. They, you know, Texas has struggled all year long. They have six freshmen that are in their basically eight or nine player rotation. They've taken a while to gel, and they still haven't really done it completely, Alyssa. The kids are really good, but they've played some really hard teams. I mean, Missouri twice, you know, Kansas will be twice at next weekend by this time. Kansas State's been good, Baylor's been good. They've all been ranked in the top 25. Eight of their losses have been by 6 points or less. So they, they're just right there. It's just, you know, Barnes, you sit on the fence with Coach Barnes about him this being his best coaching performance because he really didn't have a lot to start the season with, and thinking, well, maybe he just didn't get everything out of these kids that he could. Texas still should be able to win two of their last three games in conference against Oklahoma, which, as you said, is down, and Texas Tech today, Saturday, which is really down. Then they'd have to play Kansas next Saturday, which is a tough road. But if they can get to 9-9 in conference, go in and win one game in the conference tournament, they're likely going to get a spot in the Big Dance. It's just a matter of them taking care of those games.
Well, and you know, you talked about how just youthful that the Longhorns are. What is the strength for them? Their guard and their perimeter play?
Well, Jacoban Brown is a pretty good strength. He's the leading scorer in the league, about 19, almost 20 points a game. But Brown has been a one-man team for a lot of the season. He's prone to disappear at times. He's also prone to take some wild shots and make some crazy plays. That's just Jacoban. They've actually had surprising play from some of their inside players. Clint Chapman, he's a fifth-year senior who's really done nothing until this year, has had four, five, six games that he's really played like they thought he would when he came to Texas. Alexi Wamini, another senior post player, had some games like that. And they had some great games from the freshmen. Guard Sheldon McClellan is the second leading scorer on the team. He's their sixth man. He's averaging about 11 points a game. And their point guard, who is a point guard who's going to be in the NBA one of these days, Mike Kabongo. He's a great player. He's quick as a cat. He can shoot. He can dish. But sometimes he gets himself into places where he doesn't belong. And that's really what he's got to work on to get better.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the NBA because, of course, we are celebrating this weekend on our show. It's the NBA All-Star Game, and Texas will be represented very well, of course, by Oklahoma City's Kevin Durant and Portland's LaMarcus Aldridge. And for LaMarcus, that's been a long time coming. He needed to be in that, didn't he?
Yeah, Aldridge is really a great player. I mean, he gets overshadowed because he plays in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of people don't get to see him, especially on the East Coast. But he's been an All-Star for a while. It's glad he finally got a chance. You know, Durant, can you say about Durant? Greg had a great game last night against Boston. I mean, Alyssa, you remember a couple of years ago when you were covering Oklahoma, you saw them play Boston, and you told me that Boston was just so superior to Oklahoma City in every way, the way they handled things and the way they went about their business and how far Oklahoma City had to come to compete with them. Well, I guess those days are now, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, he's just been remarkable, and he's so much fun to watch. And you know, how old is he now? 25? I mean, he's
23. He's pretty young.
It's only going to get better.
Can you imagine those two guys playing together along with some of the other guys they've got in the league, like DJ Augustine and Avery Bradley with the Celtics? I mean, you can put a heck of a team together just Texas X's in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. We just saw the Celtics the other night, too. Well, listen, Steve, we are short on time. Safe travels, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Before you know it, my goodness, the fall season will be here, and football will be back underway.
Okay, Alyssa, thanks for having me on. Take care.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.